Building long-lasting relationships. Relationships can be both simple and hard at the same time. I don't even like to use the word hard. I think a better way to say it is that it can be demanding. And every blessing God brings into our lives always demands some responsibility. Always does that. So if you are ready for responsibility, really marriage is not supposed to be hard. So it's normal. If God gives you admission into university, it means you have the responsibility of studying to pass. You know, you either not take the admission, you know, and stay at home, but if you're going to take the admission, then you must be ready to study. Every blessing comes to the responsibility. If you don't have a car, then you just hop Uber or bike or whatever, then you don't care. You don't need to know a mechanic. You don't need to know where they buy fuel. Or if they increase the price of fuel, that is not really your business. But when you own a car, then you start to know the price of side. That's when you see why people are angry when somebody wants to hit their side mirror. Because you know the price. You see people come down with their suit and shirt and fight over side mirror. My own side mirror, it's over $1,000 USD. One. If you jam it, we are going to World War. I will call all my family members. We are going to fight, finish that fight. So if you don't own a car, for instance, those things are not your concern. So I'm just trying to say that every blessing has a responsibility attached. And if you're ready for it, marriage is not, there's nothing God does that is hard. You know, he has already made provision for any challenge you can face. He knows us, he knows our frame, he knows that we are limited sometimes as human beings. But the structure has been created to help us. Hallelujah. So want to share quickly on so a few things. Like I said, I had Pastor sharing a lot of them, but we're going to share them again. Hallelujah. Because we are the guest. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. So we're going to share them again. So let her start.
Okay. So taking off from what you were talking about, mm-hmm. you know, I think that a lot of times people mistake when God gives you a blessing to think that there will be nothing attached to it. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a burden, but it will be light. So that's how marriage is. When God gives you that blessing, there's the responsibility of taking care of it. You will service it. It's like car. Somebody dash you car, you must service it. You go pour water. Do you understand? Uh-huh. If it's those kind of car, you will warm it. You know those kind of car? That you will warm it down. Like 3 days before you go out. But you must work, okay? And I think sometimes some of the challenges of people struggling in marriage is the foundation. The foundation of your marriage will affect, or the foundation of your relationship. I'll take from the last question that was asked about the guy that is not reaching out or something. And I was just telling Pastor K, I said, these kind of questions, they're kind of hard to solve because there's a foundational problem, you know? So for us, for instance, we were friends. Friendship has always been a major thing for both of us, and it still is. You know, we're friends from the very beginning. So if he wasn't calling me, it's not, hey, there's a guy somewhere. He's not calling me. How do I make him call? He's a guy. You never call me for 2 days. When they do you? And you say, I'm busy. Or you say, I don't call you now. I say, you don't want to call me. Now you say, you don't want to do again. Do you understand? We're friends. I'm not afraid to talk to him. So sometimes when women even call me and say, oh, my husband is doing this, should I tell him? Should I not? I'm like, how are we having this conversation? This conversation is a conversation you have with him. He's your friend. Why are you afraid to talk to him? Why are you afraid to ask him questions? Why are you afraid to ask him for money? My husband is not giving me chop money. No, be one chopper. Do you understand? You need to get to the point where that, you know, that friendship is there. So I think the foundation of your relationship or your marriage is what's going to affect the whole marriage. Foundation also could also mean your family background. If you're coming from a family where there are already struggles of divorce, one of two things will happen. If you're from a family where there was a bad marriage, you either make up your mind never to repeat that again, or it becomes your normal. Because how you were brought up is your normal. So for some people, they don't even brush their teeth daily. Some people brush their teeth morning and night. For instance, my children, that's their normal. So they won't understand if someone else is saying, in a family where they are shouting, everybody's a shouter. You now meet a family where they whisper. They can't understand why are you so upset. I'm not upset. I'm not even shouting. If I shout here. And the girl is like, why is he so upset though? Why? He's not shouting though. Even me, I know he's not shouting. And see, it's you that your volume is low. Do you understand? So it comes from your family. Your family has a great way of influencing you. The foundation on which you've been brought up usually affects marriage. When people have problems in marriage, first thing we ask them, what's your parents' marriage like? What you see all the time, you will either reproduce or you will try to repel it. You will try to say, oh, I will make sure this does not happen again. But that foundation is already wrong, and you continue to build on that, there's a problem. It starts with relationships. If there's a problem in relationships, and you say, let's manage it till we get married. Marriage is not going to change anyone. As Wasuke says, marriage does not change a lizard to a crocodile. How do you say that thing? Alligator. Marriage never changes anyone. So if there's a problem in the relationship, a lot of people say, let's just be going. We've already printed card. There's a problem. Whether you printed card or not, there's a problem. And it will be escalated in marriage. Because in relationship, if the person is very annoying, the person is rude, after 12 hours max, you will go to your house in the night. But when you are married, if the person is rude, and you know you go home and go and refer them, like, okay, I'm done for today. You get home, you talk to yourself, it's not that bad. You go back tomorrow, you continue again. But if you are inside it, it gets more intense. And after a while, you can't handle it anymore. So your foundation affects your perspective. It affects the way you see marriage. If you see marriage as a reward rather than an assignment, you're going to have a problem. Marriage is not a reward. Marriage is not, I first married because I find past. No, that's not what marriage is. Forgive me, when I'm teaching marriage, the worry in me is to come out. So if you're offended by pidgin, just take the English part I'm speaking and just, you know, mix it all up. So a lot of times people have that perspective of, hey, I'm getting married. That's why when they give girls engagement ring, they go crazy on social media. They're shouting, oh my God, no, oh no. You dated for 17 years. And he gives you a ring, and you're saying, oh my God, no. So what was the point to the years you invested? And so when people do those things, or on the wedding day, you are dancing. You are dancing like someone that did not know they will marry before. And you are dancing as if there's something on the other side of marriage not work. So those kind of people, when they get into marriage, they're expecting something different. They're expecting that when the man, oh, it's a reward. So from here now, it's enjoyment. Maybe. But there's also work involved. You will get up and you will cook. You will pay bills. You will pay school fees. When she's tired, you will help her. When he's tired, when he's frustrated, he will take it out on you. So all those things will happen in the marriage. But if all you are thinking about is, I'm now a missus, your right hand is no longer working, they ask you any question, you say, is this way? At the risk of being uncomfortable, everything is now with your left hand. Even at the risk of being rude, somebody offers you something, you take your left hand so that they can see your engagement ring. You're missing the entire point. That's not what marriage is. Let me let Pastor K.
Yes. All right, so for me, building a lasting marriage, like she was saying also, I see it like from the standpoint of a building. The way a building is going to last is by the foundation. That's just it. Once you miss it in the foundation, it doesn't matter how much you wish the building to last. It's not going to last. So let's work on the foundation. What is your foundation? She talked about family background. Very important. I think something the singles should do today is go and quickly take a note, you know, of what is going on in your present family, what your ideal family is. Whenever we counsel couples, that's what we look at first. One of the first things we look at. If you're used to living a marriage, if that's what your parents did, it will be an option for you. If you saw your parents stick it through to the end, then that becomes your normal. You know, everybody has a normal. You just have to make sure your normal is normal. You have to make sure your own normal is what? Normal. So, and that's why we have pastors, because if your physical parents didn't do it right, your spiritual parents at least should model for you, you know, how marriage should be. So, if you're used to seeing your parents walk in kindness to each other, that becomes your normal. If you're used to your parents fighting all the time, you're used to your mom washing down your dad, you know, that is your normal. You would think it's okay to wash down your husband or, you know, your fiancé, you know. And the same thing with a man, if you are used to seeing your dad, you know, bulldoze everybody, dominate everybody, everybody's like, he's the king of he's the lion of the tribe of Flat 8, you know, dominates everybody, then that's what you're going to reproduce. So do some note or some analysis by yourself, if you can, what your parents' marriage is like, what you like and what you don't like, you know, about the marriage, and take a note of it, okay? The foundation is important. She also talked about perspective. What is your mindset about marriage? Too many people are entering marriage with what they will get they are so obsessed about what they do. In fact, Pastor, you know that many people are not even getting married because they like the person. They are getting married because they like marriage. Yeah. Mm. It's marriage they like, not the partner. They like the marriage more. Some people love love. Yes, and not their partner. And you will know in the way they treat the person. You will know in how quick they give up. Because they never really loved this person. Yeah? Even wedding pictures, you can tell sometimes. You know that this person loves this wedding more than the marriage. More than the person. You know, the kind of things that cause quarrels will let you know. When you are quarreling over the wedding at the expense of the marriage, it shows what your interest is in. Shows what your interest is. If you really understand the covenant of marriage, you can have a two people wedding. Because the wedding is for other people, the marriage is for you. The wedding is for a few hours, the marriage is for life. Do you understand? The wedding is a ceremony, the marriage is a covenant. So when you understand some of those things, you know, you won't be, like you said, oh my God, when they propose to you, that means you don't know what you're signing in for. You're signing in for service, to serve another human being. So why are you jumping? If you understand how difficult that job is going to be, you will not jump. So many people in their head, they believe they are going to receive. All right? So very important, let the foundation be right. I'll end the foundation part by talking about what a covenant is. And for 99% of the questions people ask me, they are all tied to the understanding of that word covenant. If you understand that marriage is a covenant, Malachi chapter 2, it talks about, you know, the wife of your youth, the wife of your covenant. In Genesis chapter 2, when they said the two shall become one person, that phrase, one person, is talking about a covenant. It's a covenant phrase. It means two people shall become one. All right? It's only a covenant that can do that to two people. Now, if you understand that marriage is a covenant, 99% of questions you will ask will be tied to that. In a covenant, I'm committed to you whether I feel like or not. In a covenant, there's not like my money is our money because two of us are one. In a covenant, there's not like my body is our body. Because people ask me, I'm not in the mood to sleep in my house. What should I do? It's not your body. See, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 7. That it's not your body. It's not your money. Hallelujah. 99% of the questions you will ask, if you understand that marriage is a covenant, it will solve it for you. 99%. All right, so marriage is a covenant. Two people become permanently, inseparably one. It means that you don't even exist again. You don't even exist. It's like when they say, if anybody be in Christ, is a new creature. Do you understand? They say, old things are what? So if you're in Christ, the old man doesn't even exist. You're a new creature. The same thing happens in marriage. Because you know that in Christ, in the things of God, we are married to Christ. You know that we are the bride of Christ. Same thing happens in marriage. So when you are married to someone, the single part of you is dead forever. That's so what resurrects is like a new being altogether. All right? So what's your name? Sorry? Bidemi, please come. Just stay here. Blessing. Okay. Shash is a married couple. Are you people married? Is there any married couple in front? Is there any married couple around? Is your wife right here? She's by your side. Please, two of you come. Because if I wed them now, they might be joined truly. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Please, what's your name? Modupe, yes. What's your name? Banji. What? Banji. Okay, please, come. Don't move near her. For the purpose of this movie, you're still single. So, your name again? Dupe Banji. All right. What's your last name? Adesoji. Good. So, when Banji and Dupe are coming to the altar to get married, this is Dupe, she's an individual. This is Banji. From the day they come to this altar to get married, Banji dies. And Dupe dies. And they both now resurrect as Bandup or Dupban. So, Bandu. They now you can come close together. So they are now joined. In the eyes of God, Banji doesn't exist. Dupe doesn't exist. They have now become one before God. If you understand this, and this oneness is supposed to be permanent, forever. This is what, if people understand that, what I'm entering into, I see people that hide their money. in marriage. I said, you don't understand. You have given your life, but you're hiding your money. So in your eyes, your money is more valuable. As in, your money is in a safe, but your life is out there at risk. Because when you marry somebody, they're the first person that can kill you. I watch crime stuff a lot, this US, in this American crime, real life crime. Not as I'm here now, I can be an American police detective. I've watched that thing enough to know who is at fault and how to go about it. Once somebody dies, the first suspect is their spouse. They don't even care if you like be angel. They'll say, sit down, where were you at 4 p.m. yesterday? They don't care who you are. It's where were you? You are the first suspect. So I see you're hiding your money. The person you are, if all Dukwe needs to do, what's Banji's favorite food? Say now. Plantain and egg. He has finished his hand. Him. Tomorrow morning alone, this guy, you can send this guy to heaven. You planting an egg. You see, so what's the use of hiding your money? Then you release yourself to her. You're at risk already. So people don't understand that. If you understand that the joining is forever, it's not for 2 weeks, it's not for trials, it's not let me see how it goes. When you understand that, then you will no longer rush into it. You will check well and say, am I ready to do this for the rest of my life? The reason why marriage seems hard for many people is that they are not getting value from it. Anything you are getting value from, you don't see it as hard. You see it as worth it. You only use hard when what you are getting out of it is not commensurate to what you are putting in. Then it seems hard. Somebody get what I'm saying? So you look well. That can I trust myself or my life with this person? If you need to hide your money, you need to, you're asking me that we're buying property, on whose name should we buy it? When you ask those questions, like I said, 99% of questions people ask me is tied to covenant. If both of you are one, in whose name should we buy it? Their names. It's their one. Bandu. It's the owner of the property. It's very simple. Do you understand somebody? If Banji's mom, for instance, needs money and Dukwe needs money, who should we attend to first? Dukwe is the owner of the money. Yes.
He understands covenant.
Because some people are saying, oh, our mother needs money. Then you are arguing. You don't understand. It's our money.
Yeah.
First, you must know that it's our money.
And our mommy.
And our mommy. So these are the mindsets that people still, you still hear a lot of my's, I, a lot of separation going on in marriage. And you say it's marriage. That's not marriage. A lot of things that people have is not marriage. Yeah.
True, sir.
It's not even marriage. If you understand what marriage is, it's not my mother, it's our mother. It's our money. So we decide how we spend it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Bandu. It's one. And when you understand the covenant, you understand the terms of every covenant. In every covenant, there are terms and conditions. Ephesians 5 solves the terms and conditions for every family. I will go into that later. Thank you. Clap for Bandu for me. What's your next point? All this one is just foundation, Abby. Truth is that we can spend the whole time on foundation, let's do something else. Let's
because
move
even
to
that foundation,
thing.
you know, when you were doing it here, I was just thinking, this is actually how it really looks to God. They are one. So he's taller than her. So she's literally his body. She's from here down.
Yes.
She's his body, and this is the head. So they are one individual to God. So when they come before God, they are one person. And you know that's how we are with Christ, right? That's why he will take the stripes and you'll be healed. Do you understand? Because we're in covenant with him. We are one with him. He's our head. We're his body. So when he was taking the stripes, I was taking it. Because we're together and we're one. So that foundation, once you get covenant, any other question will be answered. So what we've done is we've given you the formula. You cannot be changing the numbers.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So what is covenant? Covenant is like that. And it's only death that can separate you in covenant.
Yeah.
So the only way that you can separate these two people is to cut the head off the body. And what's that? That's death. That's why we say till death do us part. So covenant is much deeper than bridesmaids coming out and dancing. Hey, can your bridesmaids ever? It's much more than that. Because the bridesmaids, they will dance and they will go home. you will now have to deal with the terms of the covenant. So marriage is not something to be taken lightly at all. Second thing, I think for us, friendship. Okay, so friendship, friendship is one of, you know, I started talking about friendship a few minutes ago, how friendship literally changes everything. Part of the problem is that people enter into relationships for relationship. Let me put it this way. So you see a girl that you like. So you're like, hi, my name is Liston, what's your name? I just want to take you out. I want, be friends first. It's from when we are friends that we'll now know whether we should even take it to the next level. So talk, have conversations. And not every friendship is meant to end in marriage. So it doesn't mean that just because this person, it doesn't end marriage, you now become enemies with the person. That means you were never even friends in the first place. So friendship is the first thing. Friendship is, and you see, a lot of guys won't receive issue when they are friends. It's because, so let me give you an example. For Pasquet and I, we were friends. So Pasquet didn't really propose like that. He claims he did, but you know, in women's book, it's not really proposal. We were friends. So my guard was down. If Pasquet had come, because you must understand that I also have, there's some things that women have. They have these idols in their head of the kind of guy they want to marry. He must be a certain way. He must be tall, dark, handsome. So all the short, fair, ugly guys who marry them. He must have six-pack. So people that don't have six-pack, if they have 3.5, won't you manage? So, you know, I had my own ideals. I had my own idols in my head of what I wanted. And they were more what I didn't want than what I wanted, okay? I didn't know what I wanted exactly, but I knew what I didn't want. So I knew that I didn't want to marry a pastor. That was totally out of the question. It was not even negotiable. So if you are a pastor, a lay minister, a minister, there's a way you'll be near ministers or sitting around ministers. I don't want, because I just felt I'm not a pastor's wife. I can't deal. I can't be like, Pastor David, be smiling instead of you and all those things. I barely have enough energy for myself to be chasing people. I just had my own issues. I'm like, I can't deal. Secondly, I didn't want to marry an Igbo man. I was definitely not doing that. So for one, Igbo men, to me, I felt they were arrogant. And even though they say they take care of their wives, I think they take care of their wives so they can boast. So I just had all those things in my head. Not necessarily true, but you know, you just have some things that you have picked up over the years and Satan has helped you to crystallize. So I had those things. And Igbo people, once it's December, like this, wherever you are in the world, they start planning village. And me, I am such a city girl. God. I cannot deal with village. I cannot go to a stream. Mosquito cannot bite me. I cannot sit down in village meeting. I cannot greet the whole world. There were just a lot of, it's stressful. And then they will go from house to house. When they come back in December, go from house to house. Let's go and greet Auntie this. Let's go and greet. I'm like, I'm stressed. I don't have enough greeting to go around. I'm like, this is so stressful. August meeting, they will plan. I can't. I can't function like that. So I say, I'm not marrying Igbo. Let me just marry Yoruba boy that is not a power for this. Let me just stay where I am. You know, they bought me in Lagos for a reason. So I had all those things. And I definitely didn't want to marry a man that was hairy. I didn't know that beard gang would reign now. That time. So I said, me, I'm very hairy. If you see me, ha. I said, if you go and marry somebody that is hairy, I'm not come and born gorilla. I can't deal. I cannot deal. Then I want to bath my baby. I will be opening the hair to look for where to school. I said, no, I can't do this. I honestly can't do this for myself. Ah, I said, tell yourself the truth. Your hairiness is enough. Your children will be fine. See, it's makeup that's making me that not my hair used to join here. We now use eyebrow, all these things. So I said, no, I can't do this. I honestly can't do this to my children. And really, if you see my son, David has a beard. He was telling me the other day, see, mommy, see, my beard is coming. I said, my brother, you're 5 years old. You better tell that beard to be going up. So I knew I didn't want that. I didn't want a man that was hairy. And I didn't want a man that was fair. Pastor K used to be very fair. It's not now that Nigerian son has dealt with him. But when I met him, he was very yellow. He was a yellow Igbo boy. So I just knew that this can't work. So he didn't come to me and say, oh, I like you. I want to have something. No, if he did, the sword that I used to cut him, I kept it somewhere. I held my nail. So there was no way, if he had come that way, that I would have ever been, my guard would have been so up, I wouldn't have agreed. And I was even in a relationship. So there was no way I would have even said anything to him. if he had brought that leg. So he came as a friend. And the first couple of times we talked about the relationship I was in. He kept talking to me about it. Are you sure you're in love with this guy? Are you sure? Me, I thought the pastor was giving me counsel. Actually, the pastor was finding information for himself. Of course, that's not really how it happened, but you know, a lot of things go wrong when people have all those. And because I have all those idols, I knew that if this guy had come like he wants to marry, there's no way I would have married this guy. There's no way. So he came as a friend, and God helped me to relax because every single thing I did not want, ta-da, is right here. And I thank God that he came as a friend, because if not, I would have missed, because you will hold on to those things you believe. I don't want to marry from this place. I don't want, hey, me, I can't even marry soldier. God forbid, do you know whether it's the soldier that will be a soldier of the Lord that will carry you about? There's a way God can work these things. So, you know, being friends helped us. From the beginning, I let my guard down. He knew, it was so interesting that as being my friend, he knew more about me than the person that I was engaged to. Because we started that relationship on, I want to marry you. And I looked at it, okay, favor me, Yoruba boy, doctor. The cuckoo said I cannot give birth. Different things, I just analyzed the thing. 1 + 1 = 2. So this works for me. Born again Christian, loves the Lord. Let's be moving. When Pastor K came with his friendship, you know, it made things easy for me because I didn't think about my. So by the time I was now ready to move to the next level, we were so close. He knew everything about me. I didn't need to form anymore. There was no, you know, when somebody asks you to be in a relationship with them, there's something that just goes up. You don't want them to know everything about you. You know, at least let's be going small first. Let's get to the altar. When we marry, we'll now surprise them after the wedding. No. So by the time we got married, first week into our marriage, he was asking me, is this how, are we sure we're doing marriage? Because it's supposed to be harder than this, Navi. I said, I don't know. They said we should just go together and be living in the same house. Well, we're doing that. So I kind of think we're married. I'm not really sure, but I don't think there's anything we're doing wrong. So we were friends. And that friendship is what has sustained us even now. Because children will come, they will go. When we had issues with having children, I waited for 8 years. We were friends. So it wasn't a case of, hey, will my husband go outside? Will my husband, what's that? It's our problem. If I'm crying, you better be crying or be comforting me. Is that, you know, so we were so close, that close. And that's what has sustained us more than anything. Is it that he has never offended me? Of course not. But a friend loves at all times. When someone is your friend, it's easy to forgive them. When someone is your friend, you get along. When someone is your friend, there's nothing you won't do for them. If there are things that you're in a relationship now, there are things, or you're married, there are things that your husband is doing to you. It's not half what some of your friends have been doing to you since, but they are still in your life. Why? Because you're thinking friendship. Friendship.
Right. Yeah, so, and I'm going to talk to the single ladies a bit, because I understand the dilemma ladies face in particular. For men can go after the woman they want, but for women have to wait for whoever comes. You know, women generally don't go about toasting men. So what that means is that, you know, you can get 10 suitors in a year, and the whole 10 are not the kind of people you want to date. So I understand that dilemma. So what I would ask you to do, what I would tell you to do is, number one, be careful of those idols you have in your mind. Most women do. Because you have the gift of fantasy. It's part of the gifts God gave you. You have the gift of fantasy. That's why from childhood, if you see most of the movies ladies watch, they are all romantic fantasies. Because women generally relate with fantasy. You were given that gift. Women can dream. So that's why they know, from when you're young, you're watching those movies where somebody's in a castle, you know, the one prince come on white horse. You know, come on, guys don't relate with those things, but women love it. Cinderella, you forgot your shoe, somebody now pick your shoe. Men don't think, men like war movie, football, things like that. But women, generally, you have the gift of fantasy. So if you're not careful, because of movies and music and other things that you pick up as you're growing, you will form a lot of idols in your head, just like my wife's own. They were very baseless, but they were real in her head. And they could have altered her life. Truly, our son is hairy as she imagined, but, you know, we still love the boy like that. Do you understand? but you know, so when you build those things in your head, you know, as a woman, oh, you want the guy to be this height, you want the guy to be this rich. You know, he must have a car. I can't trek. You see, all those things will stop you from God's best, because sometimes eligible guys come, but you don't even give them a chance
because they don't fit into the mold you are carrying. You don't think they're financially buoyant enough. You don't think they're good with their fluent enough. It doesn't talk well. Of course, he's scared when he's around you. That's why he doesn't talk well. You know, all those things. God gives you raw materials most times. So that person can become. I wasn't like this when I met my wife at all. I look cool and all that now. Trust me, I wasn't like this at all. I was very thin, slim, hungry looking. She's the one that told me to have afro and have beard. So my looks totally attributed to her. See, most times, sometimes God sends you that person that you don't like, self, sometimes, or sometimes, you know. And I'm not talking about character, and I mean maybe physically. God sent that person to you because you are the one that will refurbish and renovate and decorate that person. But they will send the person to you as raw material. You are expecting the person to come in already finished form, which won't happen. Are you following what I'm saying? So watch out for what things you are building in your head. They might be stopping you. They might be stopping you, okay? So she talked about friendship. Me, I'll talk about facts. Facts. Proverbs 24, you know, verse 3 and 4 says, every enterprise is built by wise planning. It becomes strong through common sense. They say, and it profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Now, if you're going to build a relationship or marriage that will last, both of you must be interested in learning. Now, if you are married to someone that is not even interested at all, is not in a meeting like this, is not watching with you, you will have to attend a prayer seminar so that you can learn how to pray for your spouse. But if both of you are here, that is better. All you need is to invest in knowledge, keeping abreast of the facts. Everything profits when you keep abreast of the facts. How much learning are you putting into marriage? In this regard, I will usually speak to men a bit because generally men hate to learn, especially about marriage. Men don't mind learning about money, but they hate. They just believe, what are you talking about? What can anybody tell me about marriage? Men are just wonderful. Pastor, we run a counseling ministry, as you know, and we counsel people from all over the world. I've never had a woman negotiate price before. Never. Because women believe in fact, they know that the price we're giving them is cheap compared to the value of their relationship and their peace. I've never had a woman say, oh, this amount, and of course, the money is in dollars. I've never had a woman say this amount is too much. But I've had series of men come to me by the side or whatever, or sometimes even in the midst of the counseling and say, they have one question. The woman, that's the question they have. Can we get discount? I say, you don't have sense. Because men just don't see the value in marriage, and they don't understand that marriage impacts them like nothing else. They just don't see it. So I think that time, I think our charge then was $100 and something per hour or something. I can't remember. So one guy said, you know, he felt that money was too much. He said, can we get? I said, listen, the same 1 hour I'm using to talk to you. I said, this is me giving back. This is not my value of what I'm doing for you. I said, when I go and speak in the places I've spoken for in that same 1 hour, and I get up to $5,000 upward. So I'm giving you that same time, 1 hour, private, you know, coaching, and you're saying $100. I said, it's cheap. It's not worth it for me financially. I'd rather wait till I have speaking engagements where I'm paid that higher. And I had to mention figure because men respect figure. I had to let him know I'm not cheap. Don't. Because that same man, if it has a Ferrari store, he won't price. Yeah, he thinks I'm Volkswagen. I said, I'm Ferrari of relationship. Don't do that. I said, don't do that. So I intentionally, because men don't respect emotionally. It's women that respect. Women can just respect you for no reason. Men, no, you have to show them why they should respect you. That's how men are. So staying with the facts. Men sometimes hate to learn. Now, but either male or female, we all need to learn, basically. You must give relationship that level of respect. Marriage is one of the most important things in your life. The Bible says even when you treat your wife badly, your prayers will be hindered. So for men, you need to understand that your prosperity is tied to who you marry and how you treat that person that you marry. Why do we have successful doctors that have bad marriages? Simple. The doctor spent 7 years learning medicine, 0 years learning marriage. So he's a successful doctor because he spent 7 years and he's still reading books. He still has mentors medically. He's still learning. But marriage, zero learning. So he's a successful lawyer, zero marriage. I mean, zero, unsuccessful Most of us knew Larry King that just passed on. I think he was married 7 times or something like that. I mean, that's the dawn of presenting. That's like the megastar of presenting. I think at the time I started reading about him, I don't know if it was still true to now, but he was still the highest person on CNN in terms of presenting. Highest views, highest whatever. So you can imagine the quality, but he wasn't just ready to learn about relationships, obviously. Because somebody like that, he could have afforded the highest coach. There are some people that he could have afforded the highest coach to learn about marriage. You can't make marriage mistake 7 times. See, once can be a genuine mistake, once. Anybody can make mistake once. Twice. Okay. 7. You are consciously dodging knowledge. You are dodging it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So let's learn. Read books. Attend seminars like this. See, counseling is not something you go for when you have trouble. Sometimes you go for it so that you won't have trouble. Just talk to a relationship coach. Check the health of your marriage. You see, just like your physical health, Corona kills more of people that have underlying conditions. That means they had something in them before. When people die, it's not that day they die. They have been dying, but nobody spotted it or paid attention to it. So sometimes it's okay to check the health of your marriage. You can go for counseling. You can read books together. You can attend seminars like this. Learn. If you're a man, then you need to learn about it. You can't have a successful marriage with a woman by chance. You must learn. That's why in 1 Peter 3, they said, husbands, treat your wife according to knowledge. You can't do it by chance. You must learn. You must learn. You can't have as a woman, you can't successfully live with a man without learning about men. And this is what many people do. Two people just marry. They have not learned about the opposite. I heard you talking about that today. They have not learned about the opposite sex. We are different. We are not even made from the same material. In fact, we are two different beings. Two different. If it was animal kingdom, we're two, like hyena and lion marrying. Two different species. We're not even the same at all. We are not the same. We didn't come from the same materials. I know most of you are in the Good Word Teaching Church, so I know you already know this. We're not even the same from the same material. Men were made from dust. Women were made from a bone. We're not the same. Do you understand? So I don't even know why we joined together, because we're not the same. Two different animals. We're not the same. Imagine an eagle marrying a chicken. They will need a lot of communication to survive. A lot of understanding, Abby. Say me, I want to fly. So when we fly to this point, you stop there, because that's where your wing can reach. Then I'll fly, then I'll come back. But to say we are one, we are equal. And that's what the world is trying to teach. That men and women are saying we are one. We are never one. We are never equal. We are different. We have different roles. Don't let this modern talk that is destroying homes and families. Because when people are pushing an agenda, check their results. The Western world teaching you men and women are the same. Check the divorce rates. If it's working for them. The person you want to copy, check if it's working for them. They said, we don't beat children. That's not scriptural, though. Scripture say beat your child when it's necessary. I'm not talking about just beating for no reason. Good morning, just land him slap. That's not, I'm not talking about those kind of barbaric. But I'm saying if it gets to the stage where beating, spanking, is needed, be free to release that grace. But you see, the Western world say, no, don't beat your children. Have you seen how their kids behave? Check the facts. Don't just follow because they are saying something. Check their, is it working for them? That's what you need to find out. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Men and women are not the same. So men came from dust. Women came from the bone. You say, we are all equal. There should be no rules. Then why is it only women carrying children? You know, if it was up to these modern people now, in every family, if Duke were born the first one, Banji will born the second one. Am I correct? Because they'll say, we are equal. We must do everything together. God specifically put the womb in the woman. And listen, God didn't only give the woman the physical capacity to carry children. He also gave her the emotional capacity. God is a master planner now. They didn't only shape this mic to be cordless, they also gave it the capacity to transmit. So if I just take a wire, you don't even have any corded mic in this church. If I take a corded mic and remove the cord, it doesn't make it a wireless mic. It won't function because it won't have the emotional or the capacity to transmit. This one is not the lack of cord that makes it cordless. It also has capacity. So if God made the woman, gave the woman a womb, he also gave her, if you give me a womb now, by the time the first man gives birth and all the men see the stress he went through, men will just be stealing people's babies. Nobody's going to have a child. The man will push. He will go through that pushing. Or go through CS. That sewing. And that 3 months of not eating this one. Not doing that. When his friends see it, say, my brother, I'm not even marrying. I'm not interested. I will just adopt or steal a baby. But you say, woman, she will carry that pregnancy. She will be spitting. Her feet is swollen. Her nose is swollen. She's suffering. She can't, help me. She will push. She will abuse the man. It's your fault. I won't do this again. 1 year after, what's happening? She's back there because she has the emotional capacity to do so. She also has the mental capacity to do so. That's why you can easily leave a woman with 3 kids and nobody's stressed. Leave a man with 3 kids. If you find the 3 when you come back, he just doesn't have the same capacity. It's the kids that will take care of him. Guess what? Apart from the womb, God gave women the breast. He has implicated you that you are the one that will nurture the children. The breast is the first meal. You know, we are the one that turned breast to a sexual. The first work that they created breast for. It's for feeding, you know. I don't think Adam maximized the breast. We maximized it. I don't think so. It was purely for feeding. That's why the baby's the food is. And it's not detachable. You can say, we are equal. I hold one, you hold one. Take one to work and carry the baby. So when you see it, you know that the master of the universe, it wasn't a mistake that a woman has a capacity to raise kids. And it's not an insult. It's not a demeaning job. It's God saying, it is you I trust with the next generation. Oh, that's a good point to clap. Because the Western world will have you think that it's less of a job. That go out there and work. Statistically speaking, and I'm going to end here because I've taken a lot of time. Statistically speaking, they have found that moving most women now that work circularly with their husbands. Now, I'm not saying women should not work. Definitely, the way life is now, most times the man's income is not enough. And most times the woman too has dreams and she's highly educated, so it's fine. She can work. But they have found out, all right, that most of these women that even work corporately and do well, that they are still stressed. That most women, when they feel they are not spending enough time with their kids or raising their kids enough, no matter the amount of money they make, they say most of them are still stressed emotionally. I'm not the one that wrote it or said it. It's studies. And most women I've spoken to said, yes, they still have that nagging feeling that I'm not spending time with my kids. I don't even know who is talking to them. How is one raising my kids for me? So who taught you this one you're saying? What's this one? So most men still have that nagging feeling that I'm not raising my kids well. Because you were created with that feeling. There's that connection. When a baby breastfeeds, one of the hormones and chemicals moving makes both of you, oxytocin that makes both of you be close, is flowing. All these things, the master of the universe designed it. But the Western world is trying to say, no, men and women are the same. We're not the same at all. You must understand that men are work-oriented. You must understand that men have ego. Men don't have as much words as women. So women always tell me, my husband doesn't apologize. I say, he has apologized. He just didn't know. Because you expect him to apologize the way a woman will apologize. That I'm saying, you can't marry successfully without knowledge. It can't work out that you just want to marry somebody and hope. No, because a man and a woman are different. You, a woman, you're expecting things from a woman's perspective. He is doing it from a man's perspective. If a man offends you, he will likely not come and say, I'm sorry. Because in the world of men, we don't apologize like that. In the world of men, how do we apologize? If me and Pastor Shego has an issue, if I call him and say, do you see Man City match? That is an apology. And if he tells me, yes, he watch him, that is he has accepted the apology. But women can't understand that. In the world of men, until we bring that matter, and say, this is what I did to you. I'm sorry for what I did. Men don't apologize like that. So when your husband is laughing with you over something else, when there's a pending issue, that's his apology. So I tell women, collect that one first. Eh? Continue gisting with him. Later, when tension is down, tell him that next time, if you offend me, just tell me I'm sorry. It's better than this drama and dancing. When your husband offend you, and he go and buy your best food, go and buy suya. He knows you like suya. He go and buy suya. I say, I bought suya. Will you eat? That is apology. One wife like that told me that she likes suya, that her husband offended her. I was going to buy suya. I say, I bought suya. Will you eat? She would say she was really angry. That she said, I'm not eating. In the world of women, when you buy something that the woman likes and she says she's not eating, that's a sign of I'm angry. And that means come and beg me. In the world of men, if I buy suya and I know you like suya and I ask you, will you eat suya? And you say you will not eat suya, that's breakthrough. It means only me, we eat two people's suya. Do you understand? Because men are literal beings. Because women will say, leave me. By leave me, they mean don't leave me. In the world of men, leave me means leave me. So all these things I'm saying, I had to learn it. So my wife would tell me, when you upset me, just tell me I'm sorry. When I'm saying leave me, I don't mean leave me. I mean show me that you love me and you want to be with me. But for men, when I say leave me, say okay, no problem. So you must communicate to bridge this gap. You must learn how men and women speak. You must learn the language of women. When a woman is saying leave me, she doesn't mean leave me. When a woman is saying there's nothing wrong, it's not necessarily so. Because in their world, they speak in parables. You must decode. When she says something, you must take 1 minute to think, what's the right answer? Somebody get what I'm saying? Am I fat? If your wife asks you, am I fat? You can't say yes. Say, I don't know, but I can't notice because you're always fine to me. I get what I'm saying? When a woman is asking some questions sometimes, she's not really expecting an answer. Women are way more intelligent than men. So most times they know the answer. They are asking you for conversation. So don't be quick to advise. Say, this dress, which one should I wear? She knows what she wants to wear. Whatever I tell her will not count. She will choose the one she wants to wear. This one, which one should I wear? I like two of them. I like the color of this one. I like the fit of this one. And be going. Don't think your advice is of any value there. She's asking you for companionship. Just gist with her. So, I like this dress. This dress is, I don't know last time you wore it. Oh, this one, I like the fitting too. Hey, thank you. And she whips you. Women are intelligent. They don't do their way around things. For you to not be advising them to take this one, the color of which, you know, she knows what she wants to do. When I was young, in my dad used to do this. I said, two, check this one. By the time she comes out, she's wearing another one. In fact, the one she wearing is never a part of the two. She was showing me. And I cracked my head, though, to think of the answer. That's what's paining me. Because I cracked my head to give the answer and to analyze the reason why I chose the answer. Women are fast, they think on their feet. Men, thinking is a chore for us. When men say, I want to think, we'll go and hide. Women never understand that because as women are talking, they are thinking at the same time. We can't be talking and thinking. When we are talking, we're not thinking. When we're thinking, we're not talking. Hallelujah. I can go on and I don't want to waste your time. But the point is that you must learn. You can't dabble into this and succeed in marriage. You need to know that a woman can be in a mood for no reason. Sometimes it's not your fault. Just be there. Hold her. Sometimes no words are enough. Just hold her. But most men, if their wife is crying, they're in the mood, they don't know what to do. They're looking for what to say. You're not a motivational speaker. And even if you are, this issue doesn't need logic. Just hold her. She'll be fine. She will say her problem and say the solution herself. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, stay with the facts. Is there a last one? there are three more. We can't do that. So, we'll do questions. Are we ready? Thank you, guys.